Hello there and welcome to the Spread Nessun's Football Picks Podcast. I'm Nessun.com's Mike Cole, joined as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm not bad. It's week one.
Sure is.
Week one of the 2021 NFL season's here. For those unfamiliar with our work, shame on you for taking so long to get here. But we will run down the three best games of the week. We'll give our against the spread picks for those. We'll also do locks and an upset, and then we'll get out of here. But even before we get into the picks, this is part of our new and improved edition of the spread this year. We've rid of Andre, we've revamped. Andre Khachaturian, dearly departed, no longer with us. Not dead, just left. He is being replaced, at least to start this week, by Nessun betting expert Sam Paniatovich, who joined us last week as well. He's back this week. Sam, what's up?
Yo, I am tracking TJ Watt on Instagram right now to see if there's any breaking news on him getting a deal from Pittsburgh. This has been a three-hour battle. We're trying to figure out if he's playing or not. If he does get signed, he signs a deal, that 6.5 is going to go away. Like, that's what we're waiting on right now.
It's going to be sick when, like, somebody listens to this on Saturday morning. Like, yeah, he already signed, dummy. But that's the risk you run, I guess. Yeah. Nothing against you. All right. I mean, we were pleasantries, yeah. You're clearly just sitting here with us. So, Sam, you're kind of here to, again, I mentioned this last week, the gist of this entire program is Ricky and I pretend to know something, or at least try to be entertaining about not knowing anything. And your job is to smarten us up. And where I want to start this week, in week one of the NFL season, is how in the hell do you go about handicapping week one when really we don't have any idea what's going on?
Right, you're looking for a bad number because the books and the bettors collectively are both guessing. They put a number up, but we have to lay juice as bettors. We lay the 10% vig, and that's the reality. That's why they come out on top, because even though we're both guessing, we have to pay that tax, and they don't. So you're looking for a number. Like, let's start there, Pittsburgh and Buffalo. There was a game late last season. It was in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh opened up as like a two-point favorite. Buffalo closed as a one-point favorite. So you're going to tell me week one the following season, Buffalo's 6.5 points better all of a sudden? That game was in Pittsburgh, but home field's only worth 3. So it doesn't really compute where we're at here. That number just seems like you're paying for past performance on Buffalo. And also the way the Steelers deflated down the stretch, like, that doesn't that number sound high? 6.5 against Pittsburgh?
It seems very high. We'll get into it in a little bit, but this to me that seems high.
This is what confuses me, but this is the thing that I still struggle. The whole number versus a team thing is certainly prevalent. And I actually heard a friend of your program, I'm familiar with Rob Pizzola, who was on the Pat Mayo podcast, was talking about this week. And I still, and even listening to you talk about, I understand what you're saying. I get the gist of it, but there's still a mental block for me when it comes to that. Cause like, I look at that 6.5 and I'm like, well, yes, I get what you're saying, but is there any way for me to stop looking at numbers as arbitrary? It just almost feels arbitrary. Like, at what point does football come into the equation too, though?
For me, it's mostly about the numbers,
it's just so hard to wrap my head around. I mean, you're better at this than we are, so it's the way to go.
Well, you find what works for you. The numbers have always worked for me. You know, like, I made the game 4. Like, I actually wrote this out a month ago, and I put both teams on a sheet of paper and actually think about what the number should be and then what it is. And if your number is, you know, like, if I write 4 and the number comes out 6.5, 7, I like the dog because I think the number's 3 points up. You got to remember, too, Buffalo goes to the AFC Championship game last year, and no quarterback in the league made a bigger jump than Josh Allen from 2 years ago to last year. So, perceptionally, Buffalo is pretty sexy right now. And this is – I love when books do this. Why is this line not 7? It's 6.5. Like, it's just under 7. So, the casual bettor goes up, looks at the sports book, and goes, they only have to win by a touchdown. And this will be one of the biggest games for parlays, for teasers, for money line parlays. I know the books need the Steelers, and I like going with what the books need.
There are like a handful of games, this one included, you just mentioned, that are just asking to be teased this week.
Yep, go ahead. Just take Buffalo. Tease them, parlay them. Allen's going to win the MVP. You know, it's over.
Yeah.
You started to hit on something interesting there when you said that when you were looking a few weeks ago at this game and you had it at 4 or whatever. at what point do you start to look at week one? Like, how far out? Because, I mean, we, you know, I'll tease the season preview episode right now if you want to go back and listen to last week's. But, you know, we talked about a lot of futures bets. So, like, when does your brain sort of switch over to, like, all right, now let's start to hone in on certain week one matchups?
Once you sort of get through that second preseason game, usually. You see who's healthy. You know, the team, for the most part, is the way it's going to look. It's hard to do week one in April, but I'll tell you what, some of these lines were out in April. Let's see. Circa put up these NFL lines on May 12th. So this line has been bettable since May 12th, you know, if you want to tie your money up for four whole months. But yeah, I think, Ricky, it's hard to really do numbers and sort of see what the market is before you have any idea of positional battles. You know, is this rookie going to win this cornerback job? Is this vet going to start a D tackle? Mac Jones, Cam Newton, like, how can you break down the Patriots when you don't know who's a quarterback? So once we get through that second week of the preseason, that's easier to understand what's ahead.
Right.
So are we just completely wasting our time every week sitting here talking about three football games and trying to talk about the actual football?
No, you're not. I get 10 minutes a show, so I'm trying to maximize my time.
What else you got, Ricky? You have a list of questions.
Well, no, I mean...
Do you have a list, really?
Far more prepared.
I have a few things I'd like to guess.
He's a curious mind.
You want me to lay down or you want to lay down? It's like a therapy session.
Well,
that's where you go.
So, considering the fact that there is no data to back up these games, or, you know, current season data at least, like, do you ever just consider sitting out week one entirely? Like, maybe in just doubling down in as the season goes on or something to that effect?
I might make one more bet. I've made the Pittsburgh bet, but that's it. You know, I got, but who do you like Thursday night? You like the Bucks in the over? No, I don't.
Right.
You know, like, everybody wants skin. And those are the hardest games to beat, I think. The Thursday night, the Sunday night, the Monday night game. To your point, I won't play a lot. Where I will play a lot, though, is week two. Week two is my favorite in the NFL because everybody watches week one and thinks that's the absolute. Like, this team sucks. This team's great. And the NFL, unlike any other league, it is so up and down. It's a roller coaster. And you can find a team, like, let's say, for example, San Francisco laying 7.5 to Detroit. They could win that game 28-10. Well, guess what? Detroit next week is going to be catching 9.5 or 10. And it's like, if I have the stones, I could plug my nose, take the points with a team like the Lions that got blasted. Nobody's going to want to bet them. Everybody's going to bet the other side, and then I can take the bottom, if that makes sense. So week one to week two, perception-wise, people just run to the right when really the truth is in the middle.
Right. Now, this we'll probably get into this when we make our picks, but I have a weird mental tick as well when it comes to, like, I'll decide, like, I really like this team going into the season. And then you look at their week one matchup, and you're like, I don't like that week one matchup, though.
Like Chargers?
Chargers, and it's
maybe?
Like, I almost feel, like, obligated to put my money where my mouth is right out of the chute, but I just can't seem to do it because, for what, you know, they have a terrible matchup.
Give me an example. Do you have one?
The Browns.
Okay, so
I
like
Cleveland, but I despise the matchup this week.
There's another one of those games, too, where the spread's right under 7. Remember, Cleveland played Kansas City, like, down to the wire until... Was it Mayfield got his head slammed into the turf in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Defensively, that team can disrupt a lot of what Kansas City struggled with at the end of last season, which was offensive line. Their line was awful in the AFC title game. They had three guys missing in the Super Bowl. They're still moving a lot of parts around. I think they're starting a rookie center now for Kansas City.
You're starting like three rookies. Yeah.
So, okay, you look at that defensive line for Cleveland, and it's like they might make Mahomes – run around like a chicken with his head cut off. That's not a good matchup week one, given the fact that Kansas City's O-line is not ready to go, and Cleveland defensively has the front to put pressure on. But end of the day, Ricky, you're also betting against Mahomes, which is the most terrifying thing in the NFL.
Exactly.
So you can just sit it out if you don't like it. But I can tell you that some guys I know that do this for a living, they took 6.5 with Cleveland. They love it.
Well, we don't sit anything out here on the spread.
So
we'll be picking that game.
We have... Yeah, we're the ones with the real marbles. So I don't have a whole lot else. When do you make your bets?
Took 6.5 yesterday with Pittsburgh. I'm waiting to see.
Is there a time in the week where you're just like, I'm not doing it unless something breaks?
No, I mean, it really, it's about when you have a number that you like. Like this number, Miami and New England, this total opened 46. Now it's 43.5. Like, I'm thinking that might not be a bad over, but it might go a little bit lower. Like, how many points you guys think are scored in that game? I don't want to take away from your show, but 40. Like, what's the first score that comes to your mind when you think of
23-17?
Okay, so you're under.
Yeah.
I'm leaning probably under.
You're
well.
Under too? Yeah. Okay. I think this team with Mac in there, I think he might throw a pick six. Two is going to be pushing the ball this year. Yeah. This is one of those spots.
It could be some short fields.
I wouldn't go under 43.5 when you could have gone under 46, if that makes any sense. Because now 44, you're cooked.
See, and that's the kind of stuff, and I think we'll end it there. Like, that's exactly – that line of thinking is something that will make me smarter and make other people smarter. Because, like, yeah – I have this habit, and this is why I asked about like the day of the week thing. Is like on Sunday morning, it's like, all right, I got to get something in. And it's like, you're an idiot. Like, it's just, you're chasing a bad number at that point.
Well, you're an idiot if you bet the wrong number. Like on this past Sunday, you know, you could have had under 45. That's a good bet, but I wouldn't go under 43 on Sunday morning. You know, like you sort of missed your mark because
right,
it lands. One of your scores, well, no, you didn't say 24-20, but somebody else said 24-20. That's 44. It's under 45, but it's over 43. It might not sound like a lot, but,
right.
You know, if you're the person that looks up and you see a dog on a Monday morning, Monday afternoon for the following week, and you see plus 7, take it. Like, what more do you want? Do you want 7.5? Because, you know, odds are good that number is going to go below 7. You want the security of the 7.
I just want something new on Sunday morning. That's what it is.
Okay, well then bet an advantageous number.
Thank you, Samuel.
All right, see you guys. Hope I didn't overwhelm anybody.
No, that was it. That was,
okay, yeah. Well, I always
feel a lot smarter now.
Never know.
Let me get the math portion of today's curriculum.
Ricky's
out
still
of the
counting
way.
On his fingers.
I'm like, does that add up to 45? Or oh, all right.
We're gonna
calculate
start
on my phone.
I don't feel good. Again, this is gonna be an issue we run into all season if we have Sam on first before we get to our picks. Either way, we're gonna look dumb. As we're gonna start with that Pittsburgh Buffalo game, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm probably on the other side of Sam, but I've got reasons that are not exclusive to numbers. So let's start Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Very interesting game. I think these teams would have played in the playoffs had not been for Pittsburgh falling on its face early in the playoffs. But Bills, as Sam mentioned, 6.5-point favorites right now. Totals at 49. Weather doesn't seem to be an issue. And oh, by the way, do you know off the top of your head the name of the stadium the Bills play in? I should ask Sam this.
No, I do not.
It's I now have to look it up because I was looking at it the other day. I was like, this Highmark Stadium.
It was what, New Era for a
New
little
Era
bit?
Feels no. like old. I mean, it was the Ralph Wilson.
I think New Era is the last one that
yeah.
I.
Yeah, like
recall.
That's the thing. New Era feels like vintage at this point. These two teams played last year, week 14. Buffalo won that game. I mean, they kind of took it to the Steelers, 23-7. Not real injury issues. As always, all of our lines coming from DraftKings. DraftKings also is they've got some information out on the handle. 75% of the handle is on Buffalo, as are 72% of the bets. So the public is all over the Bills here. Ricky, start us off. Who do you like in this one?
As I alluded to when Sam was on, I like the Steelers in this. Obviously, the TJ Watt situation is something to monitor, and it makes me a little bit uneasy. We all got to talk about the football aspect of this too, right?
Yeah, I
just get that.
I asked about it, and I drilled him down on it because it's like, I get it. Like, and that's the thing. If you hear people, professionals or smart people, like it's numbers based. And I just wonder, I mean, he made a line. So that, like, he didn't just make a line off of numbers.
Yeah.
He makes a line off of football reasons.
Yeah.
Then
but no, it is funny.
So I think saying it's numbers is oversimplifying it a little bit.
Yeah. I think everything goes into all of the on-field aspect goes into those numbers. And
right.
Don't really mention.
Yeah.
It.
I don't know if he'll share,
but
it
is interesting.
I
thought
ingredients,
it was...
but I think we'll have to drill down on that at some point. How he gets to his number.
But going back to this, I like the Steelers in this. I'm gonna take the points. I just think that defense is gonna keep them in games. I mean, I don't know how good they're gonna be over the long haul this season. But they're a team that you look back, they've won at least 8 games every season since 2003. They don't really bottom out. So it's like defensively across the board, number one in pass success rate against last year, number three in run success rate against. First in QB rating against, first in sacks and pressure percentage. You really go down the list, up near the top of the league in every defensive category. You're returning a very similar unit this year, so I think that they're going to be tough to score against. And then offensively, really that's what it boils down to when you talk about Pittsburgh and what they're going to get, particularly from the quarterback position and that offensive line, which is pretty inexperienced. But I do think that this offense can sort of I think they have the playmakers to be able to score against Buffalo's defense. I think Buffalo, a lot of missed tackles, some struggles against the run. So I think if you're Pittsburgh, there's enough there to be able to move the ball. I don't know if they're going to be able to take the shots downfield and really have much of a vertical passing game, but I do think that they will be able to take advantage of Buffalo's defense in this one, at least enough to keep it close. I don't know if they went outright on the road, but I like this is a pretty big spread for a week one game between two perennial contenders. So I'll take the points.
It is a big spread, but I'm going to go completely square on this one. And I'm going to lay the points of the Bills. And I'm actually kind of high on the Steelers relative, I think, to a lot of people this year.
I am too. I just think that's such a tough division that I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but the win total over, it's set at 8.5. Like, they're going to be right around that, I think.
Yeah.
I think they'll be in most games.
This just feels like a tough spot, in my opinion. You look at, Pittsburgh, they got four of their starters on each side of the ball, or four total, counting both sides of the ball, who are rookies. They have four new starters on the offensive line. The offensive line is an issue. And that's two rookies starting on that offensive line. So now you've got two, communication, very key. Now you got to go to whatever this stadium is called and take on a Bills team that's going to be all sorts of jacked and pumped with fans back in the stadium for the first time. Communication could be a problem. Momentum, it's just, I think that Bills pass rush is going to be going downhill a lot on Sunday. Pittsburgh, new offensive coordinator. Maybe there's some growing pains there. Matt Canada's making his debut. The defense is good, right? That's inarguable. But you look at, Devin Bush, is he not yet 100% after, the torn ACL? I go back and forth on Roethlisberger. It's like, will he look good early because it's new and he's refreshed? Or will he kind of take a few weeks to kind of get going? It's like when I run, if I were to go out and run the 40-yard dash, I feel like the last 10 yards would be by far my fast. It takes me a while to get going. Yeah. I wonder if...
Get that momentum behind you.
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe it goes the opposite. I don't know. It's hard to say. I can't get a good read on him. It's also possible he's just completely washed, too. But I am of the belief that they're going to get better as the season goes on, and I just think this is a tough matchup for them. I also think... If Buffalo, and I think you look at that Bills offense is as innovative as any in the NFL, if they can build an early lead, I also wonder whether Pittsburgh is, can they come back? And I'm not sure. I know in the past the Steelers of the past probably have been able to, but I question their quick strike ability with a 55-year-old fat man as a quarterback.
If the Steelers win this game outright, and I think they're plus 250 is the money line at this point. I think you're probably going to need a defensive score.
Definitely.
I mean, you could, which is very viable. I mean, we talked about Josh Allen's second year leap, but I mean, the turnover thing is there. I mean, he's still turnover prone. You could see something to that effect, which could completely change this game. I think for me, and you mentioned the Bills pass rush, if they're able to get after it, that obviously will, that'll change things from an offensive standpoint for Pittsburgh, who really just relied last year. I mean, you look at the number of throws behind the line of scrimmage or right at the line of scrimmage, like the average depth of target for Roethlisberger last year. I think there was only like two starters that that had a shorter depth of average target. I mean, that's the play there, I guess, is to just to try and play to your strengths a little bit with that offense, because I just don't think they're going to be able to air it out, unless, like you said, maybe Roethlisberger comes down. Maybe the arm's feeling good. I don't know. This is just, it's such an intriguing team right out of the gate, because they're, while you do have that known commodity in the defense, the offense is just such a question mark at this point.
Just looking it up, the Steelers have done a really good job against Lamar Jackson in his career. And I mean, him and Jackson and Josh Allen are very different, but Allen does like to run the ball. So that is something where it feels like the Steelers are equipped to slow that down. So maybe that takes an element of that away. So this is, it took us one game for me to start talking myself out of my pick as as we go on. So let's stick with the 1 o'clock time frame or time window. We'll go to Indianapolis where the Colts are hosting the Seattle Seahawks. If you go back to May when this line opened or whatever, the Colts were 2.5 point favorites. A lot has happened since then. Most notably Carson Wentz's foot injury. It seems like he practiced on Wednesday. He's going to be good to go. So that's impressive considering there was questions about whether he'd be ready for the first month of the season. But Seattle laying 2.5 on the road here, total set at 50. Public is all over the Seahawks, 85% of the handle, 76% of the bets. Indy a little banged up. T.Y. Hilton's on IR, and it doesn't sound like Eric Fisher's going to play. Are you willing to lay the points on the road with Seattle here?
This might be a classic example of what we were talking about in weighing the number versus sort of the football aspect of it, because for, you know, the line movement that you just mentioned, this, like, to me feels like a game that I would consider just holding my nose and picking the underdog here and taking the Colts, riding with the home dog. But then the football side of things, it's like, can I really talk myself into that pick? Because for me, I think continuity is a big thing for me in this game, because I don't know what you're going to get with or without Carson Wentz from that Indianapolis offense. Because, you know, not only are you learning the new offense, the foot injury, you also have the stint on the COVID list. You know, Indy's just really dealing with injury issues across the board, the Quentin Nelson injury, the T.Y. Hilton injury. So there's just a lot of things going against them. Whereas Seattle, you're just kind of, it's kind of set it and forget it, plug and play, as opposed to last season. And I know you can point to a lot of Seattle's defensive issues, but if you look, I mean, that unit got a lot better down the stretch. I mean, they had, going into the playoffs over there, you know, I think it was basically from week 10 on, I mean, they were pretty good. After week 10 last season, third in yards per game against, second in pass yards per attempt against, second in sacks. So a lot of areas that were pain points early in the year, they cleaned up as the season went on. Number one in run defense, according to Pro Football Focus last year. Obviously, that's a huge strength of Indianapolis. So there's just a lot going against the Colts in terms of the on-field aspect of it. So I guess I'm going to, you know, I kind of hate to do it, but I am going to go chalk and take the Seahawks. I don't know. If you can talk me into taking the Colts, though, I could probably be swayed in this game. This is a tough one.
So just following up on a couple of your points, Monday, this past Monday, like 2 days ago, this is the first time since camp opened on July 27th that all 11 projected offensive starters for the Colts practice together. That's not
ideal.
To your continuity point. Yeah. Following up another point, I look at that Seattle run, late season run last year. The Rams, they gave up 23 points, 21 points to Arizona, and then they shut down Philly. Meh. The Giants, yuck. The Jets, whoa. Washington, then the Rams, nice win, and the 49ers. So wasn't exactly like they played the 07 Patriots,
right?
And you know, the 2011 Packers. I'm going to give me the points. I'm taking the home team. I look at it like there's a chance they just get blown out because they look terrible and they can't get their stuff together. But the fact that Carson Wentz is familiar with Frank Reich is it eases my apprehension a little bit in that regard. And for me, you want to talk about the football thing. Is assuming the guys who are healthy are healthy on the Indy offensive line, and assuming they don't end up with COVID. I mean, it's nearly half of their offense is unvaccinated. Yeah. So who knows what happens. But I look at that offensive line, I think, is still very good. I wonder how much of a pass rush the Seahawks can generate, especially against that. I mean, look at that defense. They lost KJ Wright. They lost Shaquille Griffin. You look at last year. I mean, like Cam Newton, Cam Newton goes 30 of 44 for 400 yards against them because they could not put any pressure on him whatsoever. I mean, that was like
what
the last
outlier of that performance.
I know. And that was the last like great game of Julian Edelman's career. So
that was, I mean, you had some Cam Newton MVP chatter being thrown around at that point.
Right, exactly. So maybe, I don't know if they have issues. I tried to find numbers against the slot, whether that's an issue for them, but you know, maybe this is a big Paris Campbell game. Again, this is a tough spot too, because you're kind of, how much do numbers from last year mean this year? But Indy did force the fifth most turnovers last season. Seattle last year is 12-0 when Russell Wilson had one turnover or less. 0-4 when he turned it over at least twice. So get a couple takeaways and you're in business against Seattle. That pass rush, I mean the Seattle offensive line definitely is better. Like Dwayne Brown is certainly solidified. He sounds like he's going to get his new contract or at least get that squared away. But I mean, you got DeForest Buckner obviously on the other side. Quiddy Pay, the rookie pass rusher that they took there. I think they can disrupt things up front, take the burden off of their secondary. I think it's going to be a close game. The 2.5 is not something I feel great about because it feels like the Seahawks always win by 3 if they win. But I just think this
could come down to a kick.
Yeah. And I guess if I'm taking 2.5, I probably like them to win outright. So I would probably feel better taking them to win outright, the Colts. But I'm confident enough going that direction here.
I'll tell you what, talk about a schedule to open the season for Indianapolis against Seattle. They play host to the Rams, then at Tennessee, at Miami, at Baltimore.
Their first five opponents all won at least 10 games last year.
I mean, that's a slate right there. It is a tough schedule all around. I mean, you're playing the NFC West, the AFC East, and you throw the Bucks on your schedule.
Yep.
It's
tough. Let's go to the 425 window.
Also, real quick, you know, the Colts are on a 7-game week one losing streak.
Ugh. I've got.
I don't know if there's anything to that. Kind of interesting.
You want to talk about week one losing streaks? Let's get to our next game.
Ah, hell yeah.
You got the Cleveland Browns heading to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. A 425 kick. The total's at 53. It's going to be hot. It's going to be high 80s, overcast, Kansas City in September. No surprise there. 82% of the handle, 3/4 of the bets on the Chiefs here. The Chiefs laying 6 at home. This is from CBSSports.com. Cleveland hasn't won in week one since 2004. They're 0-15-1 in the season debut. Chiefs, meanwhile, 6 straight week one wins, averaging 37 points per game in the last 5 openers.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. So the Chiefs are 6-point favorites here in a rematch of a playoff game last year, divisional round. I think Mahomes got hurt in that game midway through. Real gutsy fourth down call late. The Browns were in that game, though. Do you see a similar scenario playing out here? We kind of touched on this game already a little bit.
So. Yeah. So first and foremost, your tease game is in midseason form, teasing that stat that you just threw at everybody. So that's we're trending up, or the arrow's pointing up for us.
Well, unlike the Colts, we have plenty of time to go, plenty of reps.
Also, I would love to know how many games total the Browns won in that span, really, from 04 up until about last year. So,
wasn't a lot.
Yeah. So this is, and I started to touch on this with Sam, that Cleveland is a team that I like in the long haul this year. I think that defense is going to be much better than it was last year. I mean, you look at the numbers, that defense wasn't great last year. Really is probably what held them back. Added several pieces to that secondary. I thought they had a pretty good draft, addressed over the first couple of rounds, brought in some potential impact players. I just think it's going to take a little bit for them to mesh. And this isn't exactly the team that, you want to play when you're sort of figuring things out. You mentioned how good Kansas City has been to open the season. I'll go a step further and look at Patrick Mahomes alone in September. 10-0 straight up as a starter, 32 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 124.4 passer rating. Pretty good. So basically in September, you're getting the best version of the best quarterback on the planet. I just think that for me, I have zero concerns that Andy Reid's going to have that team ready and motivated. Can't imagine the Super Bowl left a good taste in their mouths. So yeah, I guess in my fear always too is if I was to take the Browns in this game, I think my fear would be that they keep it close throughout, leaning on that rushing attack and that elite offensive line, but then the Chiefs sort of pull away late. I mean, the Chiefs, for as good as they, you know, as good as they've been in recent years, obviously, they're against the spread was not great towards the end of last year. So, I don't know. For me, like I said, it's just, I think it's going to take a little bit for the Browns to sort of hit their stride. Ultimately, that's what it boils down to.
The season long race for the whatever the Andre Cup is, might be won in week one, won or lost, because we are on opposite sides of the coin across the board.
Nice.
I got Cleveland here. I'm big in the trenches this week. And the Chiefs, I read a story, Patrick Mahomes feeling great about his offensive line. They go out and get Joe Tooney. They made some upgrades there. They spent in the draft. They're starting three rookies on the offensive line. Three good rookies, I guess. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know what I'm talking about when it comes to that. But three rookies are three rookies, especially when you're going up against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. That defense is as healthy as it's been all summer, I guess. So I don't know how good that defense is long run, and certainly a very tough test here. I was going to say I'm kind of hoping on Kansas City being slow out of the gates, but that certainly is not something that has happened in the past. But I like, you know, I like what the Browns are able to do here. I think they can, if they can disrupt up front on defense, and again, this is a cliche that is as old as time and it's outdated at this point, really, but I look at them on maybe on the running game. If they can is this a cliche or a narrative that's maybe a little too old at this point, the Chiefs' issues with the run game? Maybe that I feel like we've talked about that being overstated in the past, especially with the way that they play on offense, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
if you're up 14-0, it doesn't really matter how bad your run defense is.
It's the thing too. It's like when you go to two straight Super Bowls at some point,
yeah.
All right, well, this has been an issue for the past couple of years and still one of the final two teams playing every year. So clearly it's not that much of a problem. And I think that's kind of where I am with the offensive line too, is like, to your point, like, I don't know what the rookies are going to do, and I don't know how cohesive that unit's going to be. Although, you know, you mentioned Tooney, Orlando Brown coming in,
yeah,
like, so I don't know what the cohesion's going to look like, but I'm banking on it being better than it was last year.
I look at this as my best chance to take the Browns against the Chiefs all year, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah,
the Browns are as healthy as they're going to be, and I just don't know what I'm going to get out of the Chiefs in certain positions that mean a lot to me. It means a lot to me. Also, Andy Reid earlier today is Wednesday, said Tyrann Mathieu is still in the protocol for COVID. He was a menace in that playoff game last year. 7 tackles, 1 for a loss, and an interception. So if you're without him, that's a tough ask going up against that offense that is getting Odell Beckham back, by the way. I like this to be a 3 or 4 point game. I think, you know, but I will say, if you like Kansas City, don't be afraid of laying the points. Cleveland last year, 4-3 against playoff teams. So 4 wins, that's nice. Nice job winning 4 games against playoff teams. The games that they lost by an average of 23. So either they are going to win this game or they are going to get blown the hell out. So
mentioned the Chiefs down the stretch last year, their ATS record, 1-9-1 in their last 11 games last year. I believe that's including the playoffs. Favored by more than 3 points in 7 of those games. 15-5-1 against the spread in their last 21 games when they're favored by 3 points or fewer. So, in other words, this is a team that for the longest time had a great ATS record. And then sort of the market started to catch up to them. The spread started to get a little bit inflated, and that's when you've seen that, you know, against the spread record swing in the other direction. Yep. So this kind of backs up, I guess, your, you know, an argument in your defense, that, you know, a spread of this nature, pretty sizable, 6 points, that, yeah, there's some value there taking the points with Cleveland, because, you know, I don't know. You reach a certain number, and then the Chiefs, all of a sudden, you lose a little bit of that value.
Yeah, going against healthy Mahomes is daunting, though. But
the Chiefs, is there? There's nothing more daunting than picking against the Chiefs and sitting there on a Sunday or whatever, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself when you're well within the number, and then they, you know, two quick strikes, and they hang 14 on you just like that, and it's a whole different game.
Yes. Yep. Been there quite a few times. So I lied at the top of the show. I said we're going to do the three best games. We're actually doing four this week. Yeah. Opening week bonanza.
A little bonus.
The slate this week, we didn't do slate talk at the start. The slate is really good, too. There are three or four games that could have made this cut. The more I look at the schedule for week one, the more I realize we could have done it.
We should have a compilation of slate talk at the end of the year. We look back and see like
how wrong we were.
Yeah,
about,
I can't wait for week two. I haven't really looked ahead to it yet, but I imagine there's some games there that we think are going to be awesome. Like we painted as it was a really good slate.
Well, I just look at like that Chargers Washington game this week. I'm like, that looks like
that looks good, looks juicy, but it's like, coming around the end of the
year. Yeah, week 17, they're both out of the playoffs. Like, what the hell are we talking about? All right, so this is a game that may or may not be good. A lot of intrigue in this one, a lot of moving parts, quite literally. You got the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is back. They are going to go on the road to take on the New Orleans Saints, a game that is being played in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida. The Packers laying 4 points, quote-unquote, on the road here. Total's at 50. Weather's going to suck. Mid-80s, humid, chance of rain. I mean, it is Florida to a T. 91% of the handle, 82% of the bets on Green Bay. According to reports, the Saints reportedly chose Jacksonville in part because it's the toughest trip for Green Bay fans to make, apparently ignoring the fact that there are Packers fans literally all over the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of them in Florida who moved down there from the horrible winters of Wisconsin. They also considered Aaron Rodgers' record in Florida, which on the surface doesn't look good, but we'll get into this a little bit more in a couple minutes. 3-4 with a 78 passer rating. All of that being said, are you willing to lay the points here with the Packers going on the road to take on Jameis Winston and the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah, I like the thought of an intern sitting there crunching numbers on Expedia or Orbitz and filing a one sheet, putting it in one Microsoft OneNote, and then making a decision from there. But this is a game where, I mean, you talked about the trenches with regards to the Cleveland-Kansas City game. I'm sort of looking at that here. Because this is another game where my opinion of the game doesn't necessarily reflect my opinion of the team long term. Because as we talked about last week, I'm not really high on the Saints this season. I think that defense is sort of trending in the wrong direction. The offense is a total X factor. I think the Saints, probably more than any team in the NFL, I'm anxious to see just what they look like right out of the gate. That being said, there's a very, very real chance that the Saints can win the battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball in this particular game. Green Bay, I just wonder what their offensive line is going to look like with David Bakhtiari out, Corey Linsley obviously gone. So maybe there's a chance there for the Saints to get after the quarterback. And then offensively, I don't know what they're going to look like with Jameis Winston. And really, who's he going to throw the ball to? I mean, no Michael Thomas. You got some other guys banged up. So I think if you're New Orleans, you sort of lean on a healthy dose of Alvin Kamara in the passing game. The Packers had some problems defending running backs last year in the passing game.
Including Kamara.
Including Kamara in a big, big way. So maybe that's the path on offense. And then, just sort of lean on your rushing attack overall. And then defensively, I think the Saints might be able to get after it. So I just think that this is a game that, while I'm not too high on the Saints, I'm also not going to swing too far in the other direction. I think they're going to be terrible this year. It's a team that probably should have been in the NFC Championship. So I'll take the points.
Feels like a three-point game.
Yeah.
So I'll take the points.
Very much.
I'll take the Saints. I will say, I will push back on the Florida narrative. Rodgers, so 3-4 with a 78 passer rating. Three of those four losses came in 2008 or 2009, which might as well have been 50 years ago. And so the passer rating number gets completely dilapidated by the fact that he had a 35 passer rating last year at Tampa Bay, which was the third worst game of his entire Hall of Fame career by passer rating. That certainly messes up the number. In between those, the three games in between the Tampa game and the first three, it's 3-0 with 6 touchdowns and no interceptions, including a win season. I think it was season opening win at Jacksonville in 2016. So Aaron Rodgers' ability to withstand the Florida heat is not an issue for me. As I don't think that needs to be said, but it is. Whether he has time to throw is a completely different story. You saw when they started getting dinged up on the offensive line last year, that's where things really started to go south for them. I mean, you go look at the NFC Championship game when, you know, they had their chances and Rodgers played pretty well and they scored some points, but he was running for his life at times in that game. You know, we saw what Tampa Bay was able to do in the Super Bowl against like teams with strong pass rushes, and I wouldn't necessarily put the Saints up there with Tampa, but they're gonna feast when they've got the advantage. So, I will say I think this is like a Packers home game, so like the 4 points almost makes sense. Like I do think that they're probably 2 or 3 points, but I can see how you get the 4 points. Yeah. A lot of this comes down to the Kamara thing for me, and you go back to they played in October last year. Kamara, 58 yards on 6 carries, 139 receiving yards, 13 receptions on 14 targets, 2 touchdowns, including like a 52-yard touchdown, in which the Packers missed 5 tackles. Like it was just, it looked like, you know, Kamara was playing on rookie. I don't know. Like the Packers make a change on defense. They go to Joe Barry instead of Mike Pettine. Barry likes to use the safeties close to the line of scrimmage, but like, I don't know if Darnell Savage is a great tackler. I mean, the Pro Football Focus numbers certainly don't look good. I love the Packers more than most things in my entire life. I can't really tell you what they're going to do at inside linebacker. That's still an issue. They didn't do a ton to address that. Jameis Winston, like the narrative with Jameis Winston's entire career is he kind of fits into the Arians risk it or biscuit thing. He'll throw the ball downfield. I mean, the 53-yard touchdown pass, or what, I don't know how long the touchdown pass was, but he threw a touchdown pass in the preseason and went 53 yards in the air. It would have been New Orleans' longest of any touchdown since 2016. Like, that was an element of the offense that they did not have under Drew Brees late. They only threw 29 passes that traveled 20-plus air yards beyond the line of scrimmage last year, according to ESPN stats and info. Fewer than any team since 2014. And, like, the last thing I can remember about the Packers' defense is getting just torched. The Scotty Miller touchdown at halftime of the NFC Championship game. They have shown a propensity to give up big plays through the air too. So those are two issues that I wonder whether they
to somebody like Scotty Miller. So you don't necessarily need a Mike Evans or a Chris Godwin to make those plays.
Right. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
So, you know, New Orleans might maybe Marquez Callaway is the answer there. Somebody else further down on the depth chart.
Kevin King happens to be wandering around the middle of the field with his head in his ass. Like, that it just takes one play. Right. And that's especially when you're just talking about the spread. Like, it just takes one play to keep that game closer than maybe it should be. I do think the Packers find a way to win this game. I just feel like this is a 31-28 type of contest. So
it's going to be wild to see what they do with Winston, because like you mentioned, that he adds such a component that they didn't have before. And is it for better or worse? Or maybe it's, you get so much of both. You get so much of the good and so much of the bad that ultimately it's just status quo.
It's possible that they're better.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But it's also entirely possible that they're a lot worse. So.
I do think Sean Payton has done everything except threaten physical harm against Jameis Winston if he doesn't take care of the football. So that's a good game. A lot of good games in the 425 window. All right, we're running a little long here, so let's do locks and upsets real quick and get out of here. Who's your lock?
My lock, I'm going to take the Panthers, 5.5-point favorites over the Jets. Sam Darnold, revenge game. I just think, you know, rookie quarterback Zach Wilson starting on the road. That Carolina defense
is loaded.
It could be good, but not a lot of, like, name recognition, but it has the potential to be really good.
They devote an entire draft to defense like two or three years ago?
I think with the Jets, I mean, they're going to have some defensive issues and offensive issues, a lot of issues up and down that roster. Christian McCaffrey back, he might have a huge day. 5.5 points. That's, yeah, give me the Panthers.
That's what I was going to ask you. All right, I've got for my lock, I'm going to go to Sunday night. Feels like a square pick, but I'm taking the Rams. I think they're 7.5 point favorites at home against Chicago. They're not opening their new stadium, but they'll be first time fans in the stadium. The Bears have offensive line issues, and then they're going to run Andy Dalton out there. I know the defense is good. I just don't like, they're going to be in some tough spots here. It almost feels like Nagy is like sacrificing Dalton so that they can make the move to Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And this has 28-7 written all over it.
For me, the Bears are just, they just feel like they've got 7-10 written all over.
Yeah,
as currently constituted,
it's laying a lot for a lock segment. But I like Stafford. I think that offense has a chance to be better with him there. Maybe that takes a little bit of time to get going, but I think, you know, McVay is going to put him in a position to succeed. I think they're going to score some points, and I think they're going to be dealing with some short fields too. So, I like the Bears there. Who's your upset?
Sticking with the theme of flying in the face of my previous season-long picks. I said last week that I actually liked Minnesota, but I actually don't like them this week. I think Cincinnati, 3.5 point underdogs, might be able to pull an outright upset here at home in Cincinnati, +170 on the money line. And it comes down to that Cincinnati offense. I mean, they're going to be at the end of the day, they're probably going to finish last in that AFC North, just given the talent level across the board. But that offense has potential, and if it takes this Vikings defense a little bit to get back on track, I think they might be able to. This seems like a classic steal one in Week One sort of game.
I'm taking the Giants at home as 3-point underdogs against Denver. This has more to do with Denver than it does with the Giants.
Well, people are getting a little too high on Denver.
Yeah.
You know, like they seem to be too trendy.
Yeah, and like I know that there might be some offensive line issues for the Giants, which is not great when Denver's coming to town. But like, I don't know, like Teddy Bridgewater, what is he like? I know it's safe, and like they're going to win games this year like 17-14 because he doesn't cost them the game. I just don't know if this is going to be that game. Like I actually kind of like what Joe Judge has done with the Giants. Like, I think they're heading in the right direction. They've got some fight. I think this is a make or break season for a lot of those guys. It sounds like that there were some injury issues, especially with skill players, that are trending more or less in the right direction for the Giants here. I think they're going to try to make this a Saquon Barkley game. I just like the fact that I'm getting 3 points at home against a team that really has not. I need to see it to believe it before I can start laying points with the Denver Broncos on the road, even against the Giants. So,
yeah, we have very similar mindsets with regards to our two upsets, where it's just like, you know, the Broncos are kind of whatever, the Vikings are kind of whatever.
Like, yeah, I need to see it from both.
Laying points on the road in Week One,
right?
I don't feel great taking
it. Just
that.
Feels a lot.
I'll
safer
take,
the to take
the points and see what happens.
Cool. All right. Well, this is fun.
Hey, we're back.
Actually,
talk about games.
I'm looking forward. I can't wait. I know it's so dumb. Like, everybody's excited, but I'm really excited. I think I might actually head up to. Well, this is the thing too. I'm torn by that Packers Saints game because Winston's the name of my dog.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm going against Teddy Bridgewater. My son's name is Teddy. But I'm taking my point is going to be
that's a tough one in the Cole house.
I think I'm taking
this weekend.
I think I'm going to grab Teddy and head up to New Hampshire on Saturday and place.
You're not going to head down to Jacksonville?
No, that's true. Place a few bets this Saturday morning to really feel good about it and get ready. Yeah. I'm excited. Gonna make some food. We should do food talk at some point too.
Yeah, we'll mix a little bit of that in there.
I got an air fryer, so I'm looking forward to.
That's what
we
can talk to Sam about next time we bring
him
in.
That's a good point. Yeah, Sam.
Is there sort of some sort of wager spread that do you find that you make the best bets with a certain type of cuisine? You know, it's who knows.
It's just Chicago.
I make better picks after I have a nice plate of pasta.
Hot dogs. Yeah. All right, Ricky. This was fun. Let's do it again next week. For Ricky, I'm Mike. This has been The Spread. Thanks for joining us. Catch you again next week. See you.
See you.